there myself. I'll read through the psalm, even though we're going to just really bear down on one verse here. It's not that long, but it's a good psalm. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Beginning in verse 1 this morning, it said, Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land, and thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. You know, you and I as a child of God, one thing that we can acknowledge, God has been favorable to you and I, and to that which pertains to you and I. Where here it says, Lord, you have been favorable unto your land. What you have in Christ is God's. And he has given you to be a steward over what he has provided for you. Amen. But what I love here, Lord, you have been favorable unto your land. For thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people, and thou hast covered all their sin. Selah. I'm going to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Listen, I know I got to keep reading this, but I just can't help but say this. Your sin in Christ is gone. It is totally forgiven. Totally washed clean. Amen? Hallelujah. Your past is non-existent in the mind of God. That's good news this morning. My past in the mind of God is non-existent, but it's crucial how I follow on with him from this moment forward. Amen? But as long as yesterday, yesterday is gone. Amen. Under the blood, amen. Keep short accounts with God. If you've done wrong, if you've sinned, confess it and move on. Amen. Confess it and move on. Don't carry it no more, amen. You don't need to carry the guilt. You can't handle that. We're not built to handle guilt, amen. It'll prematurely age you. It'll wear you down. It'll steal all your joy and vitality. Just confess it. Get it under the blood. Move on. Amen. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath in verse 3, and thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. O turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. O wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? And wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Oh, show us mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. And I will speak what God the Lord will speak. For he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. There it is. He'll cleanse you. Don't go back to it. Amen. Surely his salvation is nigh unto them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together, and righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps. Amen. I love that psalm, but I'm really going to focus on verse 6 here this morning. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? We need revival, my friend. Our country needs revival, but more than the country, the church of the living God needs to be revived in her Savior one more time. Amen. You and I need a personal touch from God one more time. Amen. And I know where it can come from. It can come from heaven, amen? It is available to every child of God and to every church that will but prepare their hearts to seek his face, amen? Hallelujah. The message this morning, revive us again that we may rejoice. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we are so thankful to be gathered here in your precious name. And again, Father, we're just imploring the help and the anointing of your Spirit. Lord, with this type of message, Lord, you have to go beyond the ability of the preacher. You have to go beyond the ability of mere mortal man. Lord, we need heaven to come down. We need your touch, your teacher, the Holy Spirit, to come and do what only he can do. Lord, we stand in weakness, but we look to your strength. And Father, we pray, Lord, let this message hit its mark in our hearts and in the ears of your people.
Lord, revive us again that we may rejoice in you. And Lord, bring life to your church, to the body of Christ. And Lord, those that are listening by live stream, wherever this message goes on DVD or CD, Lord, let it have the anointing of heaven upon it. And let it move the hearts of the people that hear it, Godward, in Jesus' name. And everybody this morning said amen and amen. Wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? I got up this morning and I was thinking about the old Welsh revival that really broke open in about 1904. I'm going to do a little bit of reading here and bear with me because I wanted you to see what history has recorded about this great revival so many years ago. It said it was the Sunday morning meeting as a preacher by the name of Evan Phillips preached on the subject, Father, the hour is now come. That Evan Roberts, who was a 26-year-old young preacher, that for about almost 12 years of his life sought the Lord hour upon hour upon hour, that God would send revival to his homeland, to his country, to his nation. And this young man would cry out to God for hours in the afternoons to the point where the room that he was renting from this lady who owned the house, she got to the point where she couldn't handle hearing him crying out to God and asked him to leave. She evicted him, amen, because she thought this man was losing his mind. But at 26 years old, he had been seeking the Lord for years that God would send revival. And God began to answer that. And so that morning, hearing this preacher preach by the name of Evan Phillips, that Evan Roberts had a vision of the church in a local town with young men sitting in rows, and he was preaching to them. Then the story goes on. It says the Spirit of God was commissioning him to go and to speak to these young men. Finally, he yielded to God's will, and after speaking with his principal, he left Newcastle Emlyn on the 31st of October for Lucher by train. All he had was the Holy Spirit. That's what the story said. All he had was the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you something this morning? You know, we are a Pentecostal church, a full gospel Bible church. The Holy Ghost is really all we need, because if the Holy Spirit is in us, it's because Christ is in us. Amen? And so this man begin to respond to the call of God, and all he had to go by was he just had the Holy Spirit. I don't want to say that lightly. It says no one was expecting him in Lucher, and no meetings were arranged. His family was skeptical of his enthusiasm, and his minister slow to arrange the meetings for him. But finally he persuaded the various older ministers in the area to allow him to speak at their churches that week. In the first meeting, it was a youth meeting held on Monday night. There were just about 17 of them present. And as he testified of what God had been doing and was about to do, he exhorted them to prepare themselves for a baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. See, you hear his message 100-some years ago. It's what we still preach today. You need the Holy Spirit. Amen. We need the Holy Spirit. And that was his message, that believers would come to be filled and baptized in the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. So 17 were present, and then he was preparing them for a baptism in the Holy Spirit. At first, the meeting was hard, but finally, it said the power of God came down, and all who were not saved were instantly converted, and the others yielded themselves unreservedly to God. The next day, the news of the deep effect and change in the lives of these youth began to spread. Night after night, meetings were held with more gathering in as he went from church to church. The people began praying. They listened. They repented. They rejoiced. Amen. You know, that should be the response of every time we gather to the body of Christ. Amen. Every time we get together in the church, there should be listening, people praying, people repenting, and people rejoicing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, what happened in your church this morning? People were praying, people were repenting, people were rejoicing. You know, okay, keep trying, Pastor. Come on, you're on that edge, Pastor. Come on, keep trying. You're almost there. We're almost there, right? Right? Hallelujah. Well, listen to this. So think about this. The people prayed, they listened, they repented, they rejoiced. And his message to sinners was to repent. His message to the saints was to be filled with the Spirit. Sinners need to repent. Amen. There's churches today are preaching that message. Sinners still need to repent. Amen. And when we repent with a godly sorrow, it never has to be repented of. My God, hallelujah. At that moment, we become adopted children of God. The Spirit of God gives us a new heart and a new spirit, doesn't he? Hallelujah. So he was telling the saints to be filled with the Holy Spirit. By the end of the week, the community was all astir. Meetings went on for 5 hours. Many began to lay prostrate on the ground under deep conviction of sin and agony of soul until they received salvation. The following week, the meetings continued to 5 a.m. with sleep, food, and normal activities forgotten. Wow. Amen. And we get worked up when the pastor preaches a little over his normal allotted time, don't we? But see, they were in the middle of a move of God. Amen. Listen, I have no problem being in a 4, 5 hour, 10, 12 hour church service as long as the Holy Spirit is there and moving. Amen. And if he's not, 10 minutes is too long. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Then an invitation came from a church in Abedare where the proposed speaker had canceled his Sunday morning engagement. Evan Roberts arrived there with 3 young ladies accompanying him, and the congregation was trundling along in their normalcy, but not for long. The church elders expected a good service, but nothing unusual. So the service began with one of the young ladies bursting into a song as tears rolled down her cheeks. The young preacher was bent over in his seat, shaking as he wept. Suddenly, one of the church's proudest members fell on her knees and confessed her sins publicly in agonizing prayer. Amen? What a sight that must have been. Oh, I could make comments on that one. Amen? Hallelujah. One of the church's proudest members. Oh, man, to be a fly in the wall at that time. He didn't see what was going on. Praise the Lord. But it says people knelt everywhere. The organ remained silent, and the service went on all day. By that nightfall, the community was astir, and a great host gathered at this chapel. Some were singing, "Oh, the Lamb, the bleeding Lamb," or "Throw out the lifeline, throw out the lifeline." Others were praying and travailing. Some were sitting, many were kneeling, and others were prostrate on the floor. Words of knowledge flowed from the young revivalist. Meetings continued. The fire began to spread and homes were changed. The same thing happened in every chapel in this community that sought God. The services were spontaneous and unorganized. People prayed and testified and sang as they were prompted by the Spirit of God. Reports began to appear in the newspapers, which at first were very disparaging, but not long after, when the reporters were also converted, the papers carried very supportive reports, and news of this Welsh revival now spread abroad to many nations. At times, Evan could preach for hours. Other times, he gave short, direct words, always in the Welsh language, it says. And sometimes he cried, sometimes he laughed and rejoiced. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. I tried to put this all on one page, it just wouldn't fit. Give me a moment. Okay. But of course, most prominent, a vessel raised up by God to lead, but the revival was everywhere. Many ministers arose to preach and lead their people back to God into revival. National sports were deserted. Theaters were emptied. Pubs were closed. And crime had dropped. In Cardiff, the police reported that drunkenness dropped by 60% within 1 month of the revival beginning. This revival even invaded the brothels and the gambling dens. Hardened, cursing minors were suddenly transformed, and they would have been regarded to be the hardest people to reach in the land. Agnostics repented and began to put their faith in the blood of the Lamb for forgiveness. Children prayed down the power of God. At the center of every prayer, of every song, and the message was Calvary and the bleeding Lamb. Calvary and the bleeding Lamb. It's a nice way of saying the central message
in that revival was Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It tells you and I, when we get back to the cross, back to the blood, back to the bleeding Lamb of God, watch out. God's about ready to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. And we'll be touched by God and begin to prophesy and dream dreams and have a move of God. The church, you, me, we desperately need heaven to come down and to fill our hearts and to fill our souls one more time in this last hour prior to the return of Jesus Christ. And I'm here to say, that's coming, my friend. It's coming, my friend. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So, when it comes to revival, one thing we have to understand, this young man by the name of Evan Roberts, he just didn't one day decide, I'm just going to pray in revival. When you look at revival, we have to realize that, number one, God initiates it. God Himself initiates revival. Revival is not conjured or made up by man. Revival is God's business. Jesus Christ, as the head of the church, is the one who sends it. Amen? God had burdened this young man to begin to take his days in prayer before God. And God began to burden this young man. Amen? But this man had a hunger in his soul, a hunger in his spirit. And he wanted to see God visit his land. And it took 11 or 12 years before the revival was ready to come. Do you see one thing we have to understand? Revival will always happen, not in my timing, not in your timing, but it always comes in God's time. Amen. Hallelujah. And men cannot cause it, men cannot control it, men cannot ignore it. All we can do is respond to it. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm here to say, God is going to move again, but in His way and in His time. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, how do we know when we need revival? How do we know when, Pastor? Well, I think it's pretty obvious, but the Bible gives us some earmarks. We need revival, number one, when we know the light in our soul begins to burn dim, when the light goes out. Amen? When we've lost that first love. You know, the Bible talks about, in 1 Samuel, it said, ere the lamp of God, it went out in the temple. When Eli, the priest, lost his way and lost his first love experience with God, then he began to diminish in his divine responsibilities for the people. But the light was going out in the temple. That was a picture story of the light of God that burns in every true born-again believer. When you are born again, when you are saved, when you've confessed your sin to God, and you've asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart, and you've believed upon Him as Lord, King, and Savior, and you've received a new spirit and a new heart because of faith in the crucified, then I'm here to say the light of God was birthed in your soul. Hallelujah. There's been a change in your life. And it's a great change. A great change in me. Oh, now I'm so happy and I am so free. There's a light that burns in the heart of every true born-again child of God. Amen. But we do see in Scripture it is possible for that light to diminish and that light eventually to go out. It said, ere the lamp of God went out in the temple where Samuel lay down. And God had to move beyond Eli and go to the next generation, begin raise up that ministry. I'm here to say we need revival when that first love, that light is burning dim. And that little, let me encourage you. We all can get to the point where there's a diminishing in our spirit. In fact, Jesus encouraged us, as long as there's a little flicker in there, He said He won't quench that. Amen? Where there's a smoking flax, He said He won't quench that and put that out. Where there's a broken reed, He won't cast it away. He will breathe life into it again. Amen? Listen, I believe that we are right where God wants us to be. And I believe you and I are right where God as individuals wants us to be. Because God wants to show His power and His ability to quicken us again and to revive us again, that you and I may rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah.
You know what makes worship so alive is when people that have the light of God are excited about their Savior. They're excited about their salvation. The light of God, the life of God is burning in their spirit. Amen. And you can't hide that. Jesus said you can't put a bushel over a candlestick. He said you set it on a hillside that it may be seen of all. Amen. You can't hide enthusiasm for God. You can't hide that fire that God has put in your soul unless it's never been there. We need revival when the light goes out, whenever the lamp of God goes out in your temple. In your temple. Amen. Unfortunately, I've been in some places in my Christian sojourn where I thought that light was beginning to burn low. But it was always in those low times that God got a hold of my heart and began to draw me back to Himself. And the last time was when He began to show me the true revelation of the finished work of the cross. And I began to feel life again. Because, see, I got into legalistic Christianity. I began to think it was my responsibility. And I had to, you know, I had to hang on to God with everything in me. And, you know, and if I wouldn't hold tight, and, you know, would He catch me like He caught Peter sinking in the water? I feared that He wouldn't. And so I kept trying and trying and trying and trying. It wasn't until I understand God doesn't want us trying. He wants us believing. Big difference. Big difference. When I'm believing according to the Scripture. Jesus said, if we believe on Him according to the Scripture, out of our innermost shall flow rivers of living water. And the source of that living water is Christ in you. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of us, we just want our light back. We just want our fire back. We want our enthusiasm back. Amen? Praise the Lord. It's a belief away. You know, they say in the millennial reign, glorified saints will be able to travel at the speed of, not light, something much faster. The speed of thought. You think it, you can be there. Want to go to Pluto? I don't know if we'll have that liberty, but if you want to go to Pluto, just think it and you're there. I don't think nobody's there. I don't think there's a McDonald's on Pluto. Of course, we'll have a new glorified body, but if you want to go to Pluto, you just think it and you'd be there. That's faster than the speed of light, speed of thought. Do you realize with that same speed of thought, if you just, right now, just start believing, that quick, that instant, your heart can be radically transformed in a fraction of an eye blink. If you but believe, can you believe? Can you believe? Amen. Revival's not far away. Praise the Lord. We need revival when the light goes out, but we also need it when we become at ease with no spiritual burden in the work of God. You see, under Amos, it said, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. It's that apathetic mindset. It's that apathetic spirit. When we become at ease, well, soul, take ease, build thine barn. Thou hast many goods laid up forever. Jesus said, you fool, don't you know this night your soul's going to be required of you? And then who will all that belong to? Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to say this, and this has been in my spirit for a while, a little off the topic, but as we grow that ladder of age and we know that our time of departure is getting nearer, all of us are closer to being with the Lord than when we first believed. You know what I'm saying? But I've watched this in 30 years of Christian circles. Do you realize denominational churches, I don't know what it is with us spirit-filled people, but even Jesus said the children of the world will have more wisdom than the children of light at times. But as we climb that ladder of age, don't forget in your will, in your estate, the work of God. Remember the Lord as you pass out of this life. I didn't say our church. I said the work of God. I have watched this and watched this and watched this. I've had people tell us personally, Pastor, we'll remember the church. We'll remember God's work. And you know what happens? They pass on. The kids get in there. There's no will. And guess what? They just devour it and go their own way. And they don't remember all your labor, your love for God that you had.
and they're just going to use it on whatever. Half of them take it to the casino that you've spent all your life. Boy, it's quiet in here. Just remember, all I'm saying, it's your part as a good steward. Remember the Lord in your estate when you pass on. I didn't say give it all. Just give what God says to do. And put it in writing. Amen? The denominational church, you know why they can build $10 million buildings? Those old Germans, those old Lutherans, Catholics and stuff, they just remembered the Lord. They feared the Lord that when they passed on, they wanted to remember that God's work would go on. Amen? But in spirit-filled circles, we don't always do that. We just say, oh, it all work out, all just case or rock or whatever will be, will be. Yeah, and that's the way it is. Whatever will be. Amen? Hallelujah. So remember the Lord as you pass, get ready to pass on out of this life. Now, I know many of us, we got 30, 40 years before we worry about that. Gives you some time to prepare. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Now, we need revival. We need revival. When we become at ease in Zion, when we lose our spiritual burden. In Amos, that was the problem. The people just lost interest in the things of God. There was no burden for the work of God to continue as sharply as it did before. In other words, attending the sacrifices, taking care of the feast days of Israel, it just kind of became ritual. Their heart was drifting away from the true work and purpose of God, even under the old covenant. We can very easily become at ease in Zion. Nothing moves us no more. Our burden for the lost seems to diminish. It becomes more about us now. Amen? And friend, I think this is where we all need God to fan our flame. God, give us a passion for your work because time is short. Jesus said, occupy till I come. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. We need revival when there's a famine of the hearing of the true word of God. When truth has fallen on the streets. It says in Amos chapter 8, it said that God was going to send not a famine of bread nor of a thirst for water. But there would be a famine in the last hour of time of the hearing of the true word of God. Amen? There's a famine of true preaching of God's almighty word. There's very little teaching and preaching today of the scriptures. Scriptural illiteracy in the body of Christ is staggering. I just saw somebody post something on the statistics in the AG, the Assemblies of God, that less than 35% of their people are baptized in the Holy Spirit. There's only one reason that happens. It's not being preached. There's a famine. Oh, they're not. There's not a famine of food. It's not a famine of supply. And it's not a famine of a good provided for life. But there is a dearth as it comes to the true word of God and the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? God honors preachers as we preach his word. We leave the word of God, God will lift his anointing off of our life and another spirit will take over. Amen? Hallelujah. Because with every error, there's a power of darkness, a demon spirit attached to it that gives it validity in the ears of the hearers. Why do people believe a lie? Because it's empowered by a spirit of darkness. Amen? But my friend, there is a famine of the hearing of the word of God, but not here. But not in Promised Land. We preach Jesus and him crucified. We preach the blood of the cross. We preach men must be born again and repent of their sin. We preach that men must be filled with the Holy Spirit and that Jesus heals and that Jesus saves and that Jesus is coming again. Hallelujah. We preach the full counsel of the word of Almighty God. Amen. No famine in this house. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And if it gets to that point, I'll resign and I'll make room for another better. Amen? I promise you that. Liz and I's heart is to preach to you Jesus Christ and his word.
to preach with the best of our ability the full counsel of God. Amen. As the Spirit of God nudges us to preach it. Hallelujah. We can be faulted on some of the other things of church life, but they can't fault us on the ministry of God's Word. Amen. Because we're human. Amen. And friend, I'm going to tell you, if we got that right, we're going to be all right. All right? Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. We need revival. Not just when our light goes out, when we become at ease, when there's a famine of the hearing of the true Word of God. But we need revival when ministry departs from the truth. It's one thing not to preach the Word of God. It's another thing to know the Word of God and to leave it. I believe in Romans 1 it said after they had a knowledge of God, they departed from that truth. Paul said they would be turned on the fables. It says they hold the truth in Romans 1 in unrighteousness. It tells us they have an understanding of gospel truth, but have made a deliberate decision to veer from it. How do we know when a church does that? When we bring in the purpose-driven life system. When we bring in another faith system, works system, the Hebraic movement. When we bring these other things and we are departing from the Word of God, intentionally departing from the simple gospel. Do you know why most preachers don't preach what we preach here? In their heart and their mind, you can't build a church on that simple message. So they got to come up with all the fads. They got to become life coaches now. They got to have video presentations as they're preaching. They got to paint the ceiling black and have lights and have smoke pots. And the rock band up here behind us. When you've departed from the truth, Jesus Christ loses his attraction. And I'm going on to say, put it on record, the only attraction to Jesus Christ is Jesus Christ. Amen? It's his job to keep people attending. It's his job to keep people interested. It's my job as a preacher to hear what thus saith the Lord and do my best to relay it to the hearers. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm here to say we need revival when we deliberately depart from the truth. I'm going to go on record to say this. Those community churches all over, people say, why do you always kick them? They're growing. They draw people in. You know, you can go to a city of 3,000 people, build a community church, and have 1,500 people in attendance. Figure that out. It's not all the city. But you know why? The gospel is very watered down. It's very simple. They're doing the very things we told you about. Jesus Christ has kind of passed through. He's mentioned a little bit. Oh, they'll water baptize. A preacher doesn't, you know, a suit and a tie. Now, I'm not saying that makes us holy. That makes us more effective. That does not. But where's our reverence, our respect, our wanting to give honor, even in our appearance, as a thanksgiving to God and an appreciation? Amen? And then in those churches, when you tell them, do you preach the baptism in the Holy Spirit? Oh, no, we don't do that. We don't hinder people, but if they want to, there's a room off to the side and they can go over. No. You've departed from the truth. You know it's in the Bible. You know it's there. And you've trying to pull 5-10 verses to try to prove that that is all passed away with the apostles. Shame on you. You're starving your people. But in their mind, they go, yeah, but at least we got people here. I'd rather have 10 people that want the Word of God and everything God has to offer than 5,000 who could care less about what the Word of God says as it regards the infilling of the Holy Spirit. This is not about numbers. Can we, for a moment, get out of that mindset and out of that mentality? It's not about numbers. It's about individuals that God Himself is drawing by His Spirit. That God would draw them to hear the truth. And that God could deal with that life and deal with that heart and bring that individual to a godly sorrow to surrender their heart and life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And I guarantee when you get one of them, they'll want everything God has. Amen? Amen. We love numbers, don't get me wrong. I want a full church. But it's not about numbers.
That's why even on a Wednesday night, sometimes 10, 12, sometimes 25 people. But we're going to stay faithful because it's not about the numbers. It's about truth. It's about Jesus. It's about the Word of God. It's about the full counsel of God. Why? That you can be blessed and receive by faith everything for which Christ paid such an agonizing death to supply to you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We need a revival when our salt loses its savor. Jesus said it this way, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, it's good for nothing. Cast it out. Make a road out of it." That's what he said. Paraphrasing a little bit, but that's what he said. Salt is that witness, that effectiveness, the sharpness of our witness for Jesus Christ. When the light is burning, that salt has its savor. You defend your Savior. Not in a religious hatred, not in a murderous heart, but in a calm, collective, inward strength where the glory of God radiates out of our spirit, man. It's evident you love Jesus Christ. And it's not that you go around beating everybody on the head that you work with and everything and just show them how spiritual you are. But when salt has its savor, there's an effectiveness in your spirit. Because Christ lives in you. Amen. And when we begin to lose that witness, that effectiveness in our spirit, man, we need revival. Amen. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. This is getting betterer and betterer and betterer. Gooderer and gooderer and gooderer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You ready for a couple more? We need revival, my friend, when God's people become self-serving. You'll read in Haggai chapter 1, God told them to consider their ways. They had been in exile in Babylon for 70 years, and every few years there was a few more in the thousands that would come back to the homeland. As they got back to the homeland, God said, first order of business, before you go build your house, before you go carve out your little plot of land, before you get all situated, get your business up and running, one thing has to be done. We got to build the house of God first. What was God showing them? That your future blessing and prosperity and the blessing of God upon your coming generations is that God first, God first, God first. And that temple in that Old Testament represented the dwelling of God in the midst of his people. Today it's your faith in Christ and the cross. First order of business. Before you're trying to carve out a life and prosper that business and prosper your way at work, first order of business is get the house right. Get the house built. The house of your heart. Christ in you. The Spirit of God in you. Get this right first. It's not such a big drawn-out deal. It doesn't take you 3 years to get it done. All it takes is the speed of thought and belief. Start putting your faith. God, forgive my unbelief, but I start believing on Jesus. He shed blood for me. Teach me what that means. Teach me the depths of that. Give to me what Christ has won for me. Let me understand it by God's grace. Help my understanding become enlightened more and more. And listen, friend, as you start walking in that truth, in that revealed truth of the Word of God, then the house is in order. You put God's house first. Amen. I know preachers of old, we try to make that the church. The church has something to do with that, but it's the house of your heart. Make room here first. And then the physical house of God isn't a problem no more. Amen. Sweep the house, clean it by the blood. By good old-fashioned repentance, confessing your sin, even your apathies. I found myself many times, Lord, I'm not as close to you as I know I should be. It's not that I'm in this deep habit of sin. 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 Sin can be subtle. When I feel nudged to take up my Bible and read, and all of a sudden there's a program on TV that catches my interest, and I'll read that a little later. And I'll go watch the documentary. You know, just little things like that. Now, don't get me wrong. You can watch documentaries. You know, I'm just saying when the Spirit of God is trying to nudge you, the Christ in you is trying to say, come aside, talk to me. Take a little time with me. You're not always going to feel angels singing celestial choruses. Sometimes it's just a few minutes that you've given between you and the Lord. Lord, I'm here. Touch me again. Help me in my weakness. Help me to perceive and understand. Let your will be done. Let your kingdom come. Amen. Well, Lord, it's time to go back to work. And so you go back to work. Those little encounters will carry you for years. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, consider your ways. The people came back and they set up all their own stuff and they left off building the house of God. 16 years go by. And God has to send a prophet. Said, hey, guys, hey, Israel. You're not understanding the very thing. Don't you remember? You just came back from 70 years of exile. Don't you remember Jeremiah was warning you for 40 years prior to that happening? And now, why were you carried away? Why did this come on you? Why did all this evil come? Why did I break up the land and the country and make it desolate and send you off, give you what you wanted? You don't want me then? Oh, okay, you want the heathen gods? There you go. You got them for 70 years. They're all yours, bud. What's it done for you? How's it helped you out? Where are you now? And finally God says, okay, enough's enough. He humbled their manners, brings them back. And what's the first thing they do? They want to go right back to their own thing. And God says, No. You need to consider your ways. Put my house first, my work first. And when you do that, mark it on the calendar. Because from this day forward, I'm going to take care of every one of your needs. And even some extra. Hallelujah. Read it. You read it. You tell me what you get out of that. God promised them if they would just get their priorities a little bit realigned, revival would come. Blessing would come. Hallelujah. He said, consider your ways. And then the last one I want to deal with, there's many others, but another reason we know we need revival is when we become, in our own heart, in our own spirit, rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. That's a self-righteous, a self-serving spirit. I got all I need. Jesus and me got our own thing going. Amen? My needs are taken care of. I don't have to pray. I have to call on God. It's all by grace, brother. It's all by grace. Jesus said, don't you know? You're blind. You're poor. You're naked. Naked, why? Because they weren't covered by the imputed righteousness of Christ. They took it to themselves because of the blessings of God, rich and increased with goods. They mistook the prosperity, the natural temporal prosperity, they mistook that for God's favor. And Jesus is saying, you got it all backwards. Don't you know? You have need of me. And in that church in Revelation chapter 3, we see Jesus knocking on a door, trying to get back in. One thing I'll thank the Lord for is even when I become in that state, I'm rich and increased in goods, and Jesus is a million miles away, he will knock at my heart's door, and he don't stop. He will knock at your heart's door, and he won't give up. Amen. To your dying breath, he will knock at your heart's door. Amen. Trying to bring the one sheep home. I'm here to say we need revival. When I become self-righteous, dependent on my own goodness, dependent on my own merit and blessings, I get caught up in the goodness of God in my life, and then all of a sudden I mistake that. Well, I must be righteous because look what God has done for me. That was Israel's problem because she was a blessed people by the hand of God. Well, look at us, look at us, look at us. And God said, you're self-serving, you're self-righteous. You have a dead heart. There's no life of God in you. Amen. That's when we need revival. We need revival.
when I become self-sufficient. Amen. Paul said, I'm dead. I'm buried. I'm hid with Christ in God. But I've been raised in a new life. A new life. And that new life is empowered by the Spirit of God. As my faith is in the crucified. Amen. And I'm starting to burn. That truth is burning in my spirit. Christ is becoming my everything. Amen. And I await that golden day when He will begin to pour out of His Spirit and begin to ignite His church one more time. Amen. He is coming back for a glorious church. Somehow, some way, He will get it done. Did you hear me? Somehow, some way, Jesus Christ will get it done. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. The other day, I'm going over and, you know, I preach this stuff and then I have to go through it too, you know. And, you know, and the other day I was thinking, I thought, you know, I got some loved ones that I know aren't as close to the Lord, and one of them's away from God, and, you know, and it's been years. Lord, I know you'll touch them. I said, but God, I'm not seeing what I'd like to at least see, like what's going on. And I felt in my spirit, Jesus just comforting me and saying, I'll get it done. I will get it done. Amen. Think about that. I will get it done. Your Savior, the one you put your faith in, has promised you and me, whoever puts their faith in Him should never be put to shame. Amen. It tells me God has the last say and the last word in my life. Amen. Let's finish up here. Musicians, please. So what does God do? God allows our sin and our apathy to run deep within our spirit. He will allow the captivities to come and put us under its rule. We see that over and over in the Old Testament. Over, you read the Judges. They're right with God, they're blessed. They drift away from God, God lifts His blessing. A few years later, they're in captivity because they left God and God lifted His blessing. They recognize what's going on. They cry out to God. God sends up a deliverer, delivers them, restores their blessings. Over and over and over and over and over and over again. Amen. And you read this and you wonder what's wrong with that people. I'm still wondering that to this day. What's wrong with God's people? Amen. How does God bring revival? First of all, He allows our sin and our apathy to run deep. He allows us to go into captivity because of a choice, deliberate choice of our drifting from God. He allows that pressure to bring a desire for deliverance and for change. You read that in Exodus, the first three chapters. God all along is preparing the soil of men's hearts. That's why Jesus said, "Blessed are you who hunger." That's why He would tell us, I think, in Mark chapter 4, the four kinds of soil. When men have good soil, soil of a good heart, we used to think that, well, I'm a good man, I got good soil in my heart. No, He's talking about those that have been brought low because of their sin. And they are hungry for change. They can't live another day in this condition. The soil of that heart is ready for a breath of God. Amen? God has to bring the church low. He's got to bring you low. He's got to bring me low and cause a hunger in my spirit. Anything drive you nuts more is when you want to take your kids out to eat at the buffet and they've been snacking all day long on junk food and they get there and you pay $15 for their plate and they pick at their food. They're not hungry. They're not hungry. That's the way the preacher feels in the house of God a lot of times. We put out a lot to prepare the Word of God. And then when God's people just kind of pick at this, yeah, okay, whatever, okay, is it? Are we done? Can we go? You know, God has to bring our life. I've said this 100 times to you, but
from the time I was 15 years old to the time I was 25, God let my, I rejected, I laughed at the gospel message. God allowed my life and allowed me spiritually to go into captivity. It got so bad, I had to start crying somewhere. And the only thing I knew to do was cry to God if he was out there someplace. But friend, there was a godly sorrow being developed in my life. And for 30 some years, I've stayed true by the keeping power of Jesus Christ. Amen. God develops and brings our life to that point where I gotta be delivered. I gotta have God intervene. I have to have a visitation of God. I gotta get to the house of God. I gotta get to prayer. I gotta get in his word. You see, God works us and brings us low. See, these things that are going on in your life, you know, you think it's just some outside circumstances, just, oh, well, you know. No, God is using everything, everything in our life, everything, everything. And I'll guarantee you don't like it. You don't like it. I don't like it. There are things that God uses in my life. God, can it be something else? But that's the very thing that shows me my condition. It shows my hard-heartedness. It shows at times my unfaithfulness. It shows me my anger. It shows me times of hatred. It shows that I can be unforgiving and sarcastic and self-sufficient. I heard it said the other day. I can't remember where I heard it. But God has to bring all of us. I think it was a preacher last Sunday night. But God has to bring every one of us to like Paul, where he said, oh, wretched man that I am. Paul wasn't just saying that, you know, that sounds good. We're sinners. Yeah, oh, wretched man that I am. No, Paul was brought to the point where he saw his heart because of what God was bearing down on him with through circumstances. And Paul said, oh, what a wretch. I'm so wretched. God, who's going to deliver me from the body of this death? It's me. It's me, oh God, that needs prayer. It's me that needs a new heart. See, that's where. And the preacher said that every true believer, God has to bring us to that wretched man that I am moment. Have you had a wretched man experience yet? Because the proof will be in the pudding. It's not when you think, I got my flaws. No. When you've been brought there, you'll be a different man. You'll be one who has discovered the life of God in spite of you. You'll find salt and light and life and power and a new heart and a new spirit will be in you. When you've had your wretched man experience. And a true wretched man experience, God doesn't take your scuff of your neck and rub you in the manure of your failures like you do the family dog. God just makes you aware of it. That like Peter, when he denied his Lord 3 times, and the Bible said Jesus saw him and their eyes met. Jesus didn't look on Peter with condemnation. How could you do that? I told you you'd be doing that. You no good wretch of a man. How could you do that? No. I believe he looked at him with compassion. Peter, I understand. And I love you. And one day, you won't be this weak. Because I'm going to do a great work in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. That's how revival comes God's way. Oh, revive us again that we may rejoice in thee. God always brings a godly sorrow towards for true repentance. You and I will return to righteousness both on the personal level and on a corporate level. We begin to wanting to do things right. We want to be honest. We want to do the right thing. We want to behave right because I begin to realize God is watching my reactions. Amen. When I fail, I go to Him. He cleanses me. But as a wretched man, I can say, God, I need help here. Will you help me overcome this?
Will you be patient with me, Lord? Will you long suffer with me and help me? Amen. See, we return to righteousness, and then God answers our cries and our prayers. He begins to pour out of His Spirit. We begin to have a renewed Pentecost. We see restoration of ministry in the Word of God, in the pulpits across wherever God is moving. And then we see a refreshing come to the inward man and a closeness of His presence. Hallelujah. I want that. I need that. I have to have that. God's going to work, and He's going to move. I believe we will see revival. I'll let God bring it His way and in His time, but it is coming. We will see souls for our life. The Lamb who was slain will receive the reward of His sufferings in this work and ministry. Our part is obedience and belief. If we can believe, all things are possible. Amen. Can we stand a moment? I didn't give this to the worship team, but there's an old hymn, and it kind of goes like this. It says, "We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, Amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again." Next verse goes like this. "We praise Thee, O God, for Thy Spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered the night. Hallelujah." Sing it with me. "Thine the glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thine the glory. Revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who hath borne all our sins and hath cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, Amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again. All glory and praise to the God of all grace, who hath brought us and sought us and guided our ways. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, Amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again." Last verse. "Revive us again. Fill each heart with Thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above." And it only comes through the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, Amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again. I'm going to ask the elders to come forward, and we're going to pray for you this morning. Those of you that need prayer, I know Brother Carl wants to stand in for a loved one that needs a physical healing. I'm going to ask you to come this morning, and if there's anything in this message that touched your heart, that God is putting His finger on in your life, revival will come to your and my life. He will send it. And if we ignore it, then He's going to work. I can say this, but my choice of words maybe aren't the best, but God's going to work against you for a little bit, to bring you low, to show you your need. Amen. How do you know that, Pastor? Read Romans chapter 1. When we ignore the Word of God, when we ignore the cry of the preacher, when we become at ease in Zion, when the fire goes out, then God has to allow some hard things Amen. The consequences of our deliberate choices apart from God to begin to bring consequences. Well, I'll just leave. You can't run from God, my friend. You can't run anywhere from God. David said, I can make my bed in hell, go to the highest heaven. He said, God is there. Hallelujah. It's a nice way of saying, because you heard the truth, you are ruined for life. You can't get away from the truth. But he loves you. And whatever he allows in your life is to get you to that wretched man moment where you begin crying out and say, God,